Meeting will come to order, members. You're noticing in your packet there's House File 2143,
which is not the correct bill, and it's being corrected at this time. So at the time that that comes up for discussion, we will have the correct bill in front of you. What we're doing today is we're working, well, first of all, I should introduce Representative Hausman to your bill.
And Madam Chair, I believe yesterday we moved House File 855. I do have an author's amendment to move, which is the A5 amendment. And I'll speak briefly to that if you would like.
Yes,
please proceed.
Madam Chair, for the most part, much of this language comes from the fact that rather than listing all those transit corridors as we used to do, this year we're shifting how we do that, and I think it is a more efficient and effective way to do this. But we, as a result, have been still sort of playing around with the language, and I've worked with both Met Council and Finance, and we may have more than we need, but assuming everyone is all right with realizing when we finally come to conference committee and bond council looks at all of this language, whether it is workable, whether it allows them to use the money in the way we determine, there's going to be very much scrutiny of these. So the amendment, I think for the most part, the department brought to us a bill that comes out of this concern for this economy that credit is a normal credit in the market that's available may not be, and so they had brought forward an idea for negotiated sales that we haven't normally done. It's not out of the ordinary for this economic time and even for other levels of government, and so that is there as an option for them. So primarily it comes out of my conversations with Finance after the bill yesterday. I would move A5.
Representative Hausman removes the A55 amendment. Are there any questions from members regarding this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. So, Chair Hausman, to your amendment or to your bill?
And Madam Chair, I'm ready to entertain additional amendments.
All right. The first amendment we have on our agenda is the A4 amendment. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. What the A4 amendment is attempting to do is address some of the concerns that have come up within the committee with regard to unobligated bonds. We've got about 1.3 bonds that we have appropriated over the past three cycles that have not been spent. What this amendment does is, members, is that it goes through and appropriates, cancels $99 million of those bonds, and adds $20 million out of flood hazard mitigation. Part of our caucus's priority is to increase the areas of HEPR and other areas. That does not address this within this bill, but it does address within the within Representative Hausman, so I think it does a good job of representing those representing our caucus's desire to increase HEPR funds and also what we like to call the ugly projects along with the pretty ones. And this was I think Representative Hausman's done a good job in the first step in moving forward towards that. This identifies some of those projects that we can do, and obviously I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but it's meant to generate some discussion moving forward. I think these are things that we can look at, and we need to scrutinize these projects, but please don't anyone take my head off if your project happens to be within these lines. But thank you, Matt.
Questions from members to the Dean Amendment?
And
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is actually a very good idea, and we've been tempted occasionally to do that. I was even tempted to do it with the Rutherford Nanotechnology, and I didn't want to be mean to Representative Davis. But unfortunately, as we test some of these, these are, and I could let Representative Junkie speak for himself on Grass Lake, or Representative Soldier speak for himself on Itasca County public infrastructure, and there was at least one or two others that finance thought that in fact those projects were moving forward. So it's good homework you've given us for the interim, because if many of these have in fact literally unexpended dollars, early in next session we'll have found some more dollars, but for the few that we checked, we think they may not be. I think Representative Carlson may want to speak to the planetarium, for example. So my advice, Madam Chair, is good thoughts, but we're not. We need a lot of detective work on this one.
Other questions by members? Representative David.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I hope we can have a no vote on this one. It's if you look through it, it looks like. I know it. This is the cancel the legislative career of Greg David's amendment. And it's also guaranteed to pass, obviously, but there are some projects in here. I'm just looking, you know, Bluffins, Preston, the Forestville, Root River Trail, some things that back in the day I used to be able to get in bonding bills. But so I hope we vote no on this amendment respectfully.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dean, I was looking on lines 3.19, 3.20, and 3.21, and just wondering, is that the Lake Vermilion Park there? Is that what you're looking at, or is this something else?
Representative Dean.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, that is not. I would have to look at the exact piece to bring that one back up. That is a Vermilion is a $20 million piece. It's not listed by name, so I'd have to get that information to you. And members, what I would say is that in going through the unobligated bond list, there are several projects that I think we can look at for this year to scrutinize. Again, some of these require a local match, so we say, well, I'm going to put this in at the last minute. I can do right by my local community. But when we look back, we find that they can never get the local match, and then the bonds sit there and take up space on our tab when we could use those funds for projects that we could put people to work with this July. So once again, this isn't a punitive list. This is just a list that we look through, and we ask the staff to kind of come up with what's our total list. It's $1.3 billion. These seem like some projects that we could start with. There's, as you've heard, projects on both sides of the aisle, and it's something that I want to continue to pursue this year and next year to really make sure that we are getting the best value we can for our bonds.
Follow-up, Representative Hansen.
Yes, thank you. So if those lines 3.19, 3.20, and 3.21 from 2008 are not Lake Vermilion, and in 2008 we did $20 million, I think, for Lake Vermilion, and that's unobligated, and you're looking for $20 million for flood mitigation. I'm just kind of wondering how come these are being X'd out, but not the $20 million that's a direct one-to-one if you wanted $20 million for flood damage.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, that's an excellent question. From what I understand, the Vermilion funds are already encumbered. That's the reason it was not put on the spreadsheet, and be happy to look forward at folks at projects from either side of the aisle as we move forward on this. But again, members, I don't want to take up a whole lot of the committee's time. This is really just more an exercise, but it's one that I think we need to take a sharp look at as we move forward, not just on next year's bill, but this bill. So with that, Madam Chair, members, I'm going to withdraw the amendment.
Representative Dean withdraws his amendment, and I'm assuming then the list of questions will be withdrawn as well.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Oh, go ahead. Madam Chair, I was only going to comment to the amendment.
Representative Howard.
Well, I just wanted to set the record straight. I know being the lead on capital investment isn't that big of a deal, but my caucus has never approached me with that position, so I would like to make it clear it's not a caucus position.
Representative Dean.
Madam Chair, members, this is not a caucus position. This is just... Settle down. With, I would say, advice from caucus members, I apologize for that, Representative House and anyone else with a project on the list.
Representative Erdahl, were you commenting regarding the amendment that's been withdrawn?
Well, Madam Chair, yes, I was going to comment on the amendment that's being withdrawn, and I'll withdraw the comment that I was going to make about the possibility of a certain area of Litchfield that might have been, you know, included in that, but I sure wasn't.
Madam Chair, my summer trip has already gotten bumpy enough. I want to kind of move on if we can, but it was good discussion.
We had Representative Rukavina.
Well, Madam Chair, and Representative Dean, I know you've withdrawn the amendment, but I'm just curious because a number of the projects I see you picking on me in here on have already been built. Where did you get the information that the money isn't encumbered yet?
So the 855A4 amendment has been withdrawn, and the next item on the agenda is the is the 855A3 amendment. Representative Davis, your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. What this amendment does, it was also in bill form that we've had several hearings. I think it was in higher ed, and I think it's sitting in this committee right now. This has to do with the city of Rushford that was awarded $600,000, I believe in the 2005 bonding bill, for an institute of nanotechnology. As you know, the city of Rushford was devastated in August of 2007 with flooding, and their Tenborg Center, which is kind of like their community center, was like totally wiped out. And they have some FEMA money that they could use for a match if we just take the $600,000 that's already been approved and move it over to the new project. And I would, to get the amendment in the order or in the shape I would need it, I would move on line 2.24 to delete the word non-state and put the word other in there. And the reason is because there's some FEMA money and would be involved in the match here. And FEMA money is federal money, and there's also some state money mixed in there, too. So I would move, Madam Chair, to delete on line 2.24 the word non-state and insert the word other.
Representative Davids first moves the A3 amendment. We'll talk about that other later. The question to the A3 amendment, Representative Solberg.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm a little bit concerned about this. 2005, I'm trying to recall what the law is on cancellations. I think it's after 4 years. One more year. And since these bonds are never been able to be, will not be able to be sold, I mean, within 1 year they would automatically cancel and becomes part of our cancellation. And it becomes part of the management of the forecast as well. With anyone here. Now, I suppose the legislature has an opportunity to do what we want to do, but usually the standard has been from the old Department of Finances, when you have a project that is listed, in this particular case, originally for a nanotech project, if there was some changes in a nanotech area within that particular project, that they would usually accept that, but to take it from one specific program to a completely different type of project is kind of been, I think, resisted a great deal by the Department of, I guess we call it Management and Budget. Now, whether they have changed their policy on that, I don't know, but I would, based on previous things, I would resist it.
Representative House.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I will just tell you, members, there are two issues in this amendment. One, he exempts this from the cancellation, and he extends it to January 1, 2015. When we have the request from Worthington and Representative Carlson, we actually extended it, I think, to 2012 because extending them isn't without cost, and so he does exempt himself from that cancellation date, and further exempts himself from the definitions and requirements about the redevelopment fund, which is very specific. These dollars came right out of that fund, and so the nanotechnology project is relevant for it. It's redevelopment costs, meaning the cost of land acquisition, stabilizing unstable soils, demolition, infrastructure improvement, or ponding for adaptive reuse, including remedial activities. And I know Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities and others have been fairly protective of earmarking that, specifically if it doesn't meet the requirements of the program. So in this case, moving it from a nanotechnology to a local community center doesn't meet that requirement. Further, it puts it in the category of local projects, of which we are not doing any this year. So I would speak against it in this.
Well, no, Madam Chair, other than that, it's a pretty good amendment.
This ain't going good, Larry.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Representative David knows that I was a very, very big supporter of the $600,000 when it went out for nanotechnology in Rushford. And I was grateful to see them make the attempt, but this has been a really tough year for trying to move economic development forward. There's really not any money out there for that, and we are shaving the five or six projects that I mentioned yesterday, trying to get all of those projects in, and then to, in the same bill, shave good projects that are attempting to do science and science-based economic development. To do a community center would be really rather hard, because it's we're not creating the kind of jobs with where this money was intended to do. And this is intended to develop jobs that pay $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year, and I would really hope that we would send it back to the Economic Development Department and go find some place where we can do science-based jobs if we could.
And Representative Davis.
Madam Chair, I'll withdraw the A3 amendment.
Representative Davis withdraws the 855A3 amendment.
Madam Chair, I was born on a Friday, but it wasn't last Friday.
No further amendments in our packets. Representative Hausman.
If there are any additional questions, I will conclude with the same thought that I had yesterday, and that is I'm the first one who would have preferred this to be a much larger bill. When you write a $200 million as opposed to a $329 or more, all of our items are lower than we would wish, and particularly cheaper at the higher ed institutions, flood mitigation in a year like this, and of course my favorite project, which is the Bell Museum, which I was tempted again to tell you about how their national history collections have grown in size and reputation to be considered among the best in the country and are used daily in cutting-edge research projects by Minnesota College and graduate students and researchers around the world, but never mind that. there are parts of this bill that are smaller than any of us would have wished. There are items in this bill that are not in this bill that are worthy projects and that are shovel-ready. And we'll see where the remainder of the negotiations go.
Any further questions by members? Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The other Madam Chair. Do you have any feedback from the governor's office? You mentioned future negotiations. What kind of preliminary feedback are you getting?
Representative Hausman.
I visited with them on Friday afternoon, not the governor himself, but Tom Hansen and Laura Bordelon. And I told them it would be a $200 million bill and roughly what was in it. They asked me if I thought I could get it down to $120. There was not any specific the discussion beyond that. We talked about parts of the bill that both both of us had interest in. We talked about the Bell Museum. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Hausman, as you know, I have very great concern about the whole flood mitigation issue, and we now are facing a second crest up in our part of the state. The National Weather Service says that it's expected to go back up. It could go as high as it was when it crested, just under 41 feet. That's expected now in the middle of April. That's the normal time for us to have a flood crest. And as I noted yesterday, the $12.7 million that's in this bill for flood mitigation is inadequate. And I want to remind members, when we took a look at how the spending has been going on what we've allocated in the past, most of the flood mitigation money, including the 2008 money, has been already spent. If we're concerned about money going out the door, putting people to work and being expended, that's what's been happening with the flood mitigation. In northwestern Minnesota, we have $37 million of projects throughout the whole, way beyond my district, all the way up to Roseau and Crookston, Ada, all of those places. There are about $37 million of projects that are ready to go. Money is, projects have already been started in the works. They need money to complete them. They're ready to go. Now, as I talked about yesterday, obviously at some point in the near future, we're going to have to come before you with a recovery bill, like the recovery bill that we've had in southeast Minnesota in 2007, like we've had for Browns Valley. And I went back and looked at those bills, and I found that there was some flood mitigation money in those recoveries. So it was mixing, helping cover the costs, the damages that were incurred by local units of government and in the private sector, but there was some flood mitigation money. And I want to put everyone on notice that with the level of flood mitigation money that's in this bill, that we're going to have to come forward with a recovery bill that will have flood mitigation money in it. And so I don't want anybody to be surprised when we get to that point. And I'm sure that my colleagues, other House members from Northwest Minnesota will be asking for that support as well. So I wanted everyone to be aware of that, and I guess we'll have to continue the discussion later.
And Madam Chair, I will say that I believe we will all be very open to that package when it comes before us. I think that is something that unites us, how we respond to natural, nature's events. I did, just out of curiosity, we have a researcher who did some research on flood management in Minnesota. And if any of you want this, we could send it to you. First, they give the brief legislative history, entities responsible for flood management and mitigation, statewide, regional, local, and the role of mapping and that term 100-year flood, and then what I was most interested in, post-flood rebuilding requirements. But in the midst of this, I found one bit of interesting and good news. And this was a general observation. Minnesota has relatively few flood management structures. A 2005 report by FEMA observed the following about flood management structures in Minnesota. Minnesota has relatively few in the floodplain in comparison to other states in the FEMA region and nationally. This is in part because of adherence to a long history of zoning restrictions, including floodplain management and shoreland management overlay districts. And in response to the community efforts to keep the river and lakefronts accessible to the public by putting a priority on open space and public parks and trail systems, Now, that part doesn't refer to the Red River Valley, which is quite different. But I think it tells us something about our state and some visionaries in parts of the state who long have had a view of prevention and how you might do that. And in some cases, I think that protecting the waterfront was as much having accessibility to open spaces. So I thought that was an interesting observation by FEMA about our state and how we differ from others. But again, Madam Chair, I am quite sure that all of us are going to be open to responding to the great needs here.
And we have a question from Representative Solberg.
Well, Madam Chair, and this is just a statement, and that is we have to also make sure that we are able to match the federal money. I know the federal money is also cleanup, but the federal money also includes flood mitigation within their purview as well. And it's not all a state responsibility, but there is generally in the flood mitigation, as we've seen in the Grand Forks area, a very large amount of federal money came in. And there is a state match requirement of that and a local match. And the state has always generally picked up the local match on it in bonding. So, but we need to, in order to make wise decisions, we need to know what that's going to be.
So, Madam Chair, any further questions from members? If not, Representative Hausman moves that House File 855 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Motion prevails. Bill is adopted. Next on the agenda is House File 2134, which is different from the one in your packet, but the pages have the new bill for us. It's not about sex offenders. It's Representative Hausman's bill. And it's regarding asset preservation for various state agencies and higher education facilities.
And Madam Chair, this bill will go to
Representative
Finance,
Hausman.
And when it's there, Representative Carlson will need to add an amendment that it is not the intention to have any duplication of bills. This is another version to of bonding that we are carrying forward, and I think you're hearing it also in finance, and at that point we'll add an amendment to make clear that nothing in the bill duplicates any other bill that might have passed.
And we don't all quite have the bill yet. Representative Carlson, did you have anything you wanted to say on this bill?
No, Madam Chair, I think everyone else
covered it. Okay. If everyone has the bill, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just want to thank Representative Hausman for including the Natural Resources Asset Preservation and Replacement Fund in here, the policy. I think this policy, in addition to the asset preservation direct appropriations that you're making, helps set the stage for future bonding bills for doing shovel-ready and needed projects. So thank you, Representative Hausman.
Any further questions or comments from members? If not, Representative Hausman moves that House File 2134 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Bill is adopted. The next item, or the first item on the agenda, actually, is approval of the minutes. Anyone read the minutes? Representative Carlson moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are adopted. And before we adjourn, the chair, Chair Hausman would like to recommend, like to let you know that the meetings will now be at the call of the chair. So we will not have our regular scheduled meetings after today. So, any further words?
Today, from the chair.
I have to take you out to dinner.
Yes.
I'll invite you to my house.
Any further comments, too? Representative Carlson.
Just a reminder for some of the members of the committee and some in the audience who may be following the bill, we will be hearing the capital investment bill finance at 6:30 tonight.
Capital investment bill and finance at 6:30 tonight, if anyone wants to hear that. Other than that, no more business coming before the committee. All meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair.